Welcome to Digging Deeper. I'm Laura Story Elvington. Digging Deeper equips you to follow Jesus by exploring the teachings of the Bible and how they intersect with our culture and everyday life. And this season, we're digging deeper into parenting. And today, we are joined by Gary Chapman. And Gary is a well-known counselor, a best-selling author of over 25 books, including the 5 love languages, and his newest book, The Love Language That Matters Most, How to Personalize Love So They Really Feel It. So we can't wait for you to hear this conversation. I believe it will truly be a blessing. And if you enjoy this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend and bless them as well. So let's dive in. Well, welcome to the Digging Deeper podcast. And I'm Laura Story Elvington, joined by, before I tell you who our special guest is today, let me tell you who is not here. Jeff Norris was not feeling well this morning. Had the sniffles, could be the flu. I told him I'd much rather you just sit this one out than come share your flu germs with us. So Jimmy Kim was willing to come and join us.
Yeah, wait a second. Am I not the special guest?
Well, you are a special guest.
Okay, great.
But in addition to you, we have the wonderful Dr. Gary Chapman. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Chapman.
Well, thank you. It's a delight to be with you.
And for anyone who is having trouble connecting the dots, thinking, oh, I know that name, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Chapman. Author, speaker, pastor, counselor. He has done it all. But you probably know his name from the 5 love languages. This is a book that has sold over 20 million copies worldwide. It has been translated into 50 languages. He does family counseling for over 30 years, has radio programs, partnered with Moody Radio for years. And he has a new book out. See, Dr. Chapman, we normally wait till the very end of the show to talk about your latest resource, but I'm too excited.
I think we need to mention it.
Yeah, partly because your book has been out for 1 month, and it is already on the very top of the Amazon bestsellers in the area of Christian family and relationships. So tell us a little bit. Tell us about your wife and your kids first.
Oh, well, I have one wife. We have been married for 64 years.
Wow, 64.
She told me that she doesn't know how that's possible because she's only 49, so she says. We have 2 children. They're both grown and both married, and our daughter and her husband have our 2 grandchildren who are also now out of college, and one of them is married. The other is still single. And our son and his wife live in Austin, Texas, and they've lived in Antwerp, Belgium. They've lived in other places in Europe doing mission work, but they're now living in Austin, Texas. And so that's our family. And I have worked on the same church staff now for over 50 years as an associate pastor, primarily focusing on marriage and family counseling.
Well, that's one of the things that we love about you is your heart for the local church. And you were joining us in the midst of a series on parenting. And it was interesting because when someone mentioned your name, I've always thought of you and your resources as being marriage focused, which is wonderful. But your newest book, it also kind of opens the door a little bit to talk about how understanding these love languages can help us as parents. So let's just start off. At the very beginning, tell us about the 5 love languages. For anyone who's been like living under a rock and this is a new idea for them, tell us about the 5 languages.
Okay, 5 fundamental ways to express love on an emotional level. Almost everyone agrees that one of our deepest emotional needs as humans is the need to feel loved by the significant people in our lives. So if in a marriage, if you feel loved by your spouse, life is beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel love, life looks pretty dark. But the same principle is true with children, because children also have a need to feel loved. I like to picture that inside every child, there is an emotional love tank. Mm-hmm. And if that love tank is full, they tend to grow up emotionally healthy. But if the love tank is empty and they do not feel loved by the parents, the child tends to grow up with many internal emotional struggles. And the teenage years will often go looking for love in the wrong places. So here are the five love languages, and they are in no particular order. Words of affirmation. You look nice in that outfit. Or if you're talking to a child, oh, show me those muscles again. I like that. Yeah, I like your smile. What makes, you know, I just love it when you smile. Just words of affirmation to the child or to the adult. And then another love language is acts of service, doing things for other people. We are actually forced to speak this language when a child is born because a child can do nothing. We have to do it all. We put the food in, take the food out. We do it all. And it's an act of service. In a marriage, that would be such things as cooking meals and washing dishes and washing the car and mowing the grass and changing the baby's diaper, anything, you know, that you know your other the spouse would love for you to do. Number three is gifts. It's universal to give gifts as an expression of love. Before I studied counseling and theology, I did an undergrad and later a master's degree in cultural anthropology, studying cultures all over the world and how they're organized. We've never discovered a culture where gift giving is not an expression of love. Mm. The gift says they were thinking about me. Look what they got for me. And then there's quality time, giving the person your undivided attention. I'm not talking about in a marriage, looking at TV together. Someone else has your attention. Mm. No. TV is off. Computer is down. We're not answering our phone. We're giving each other our full attention. Mm-hmm. And with the child, same principle. The child has our full attention. If they're little and crawling on the floor, we get on the floor where they are, and we spend time with them. As they get older, we're giving our full attention, playing games with them, later teaching them how to do things for themselves. But it's giving them our full attention, quality time. And then number five is physical touch. We've long known the emotional power of physical touch. That's why we pick up babies, hold them, kiss them, and cuddle them long before the baby understands the meaning of the word love. The baby feels love mm-hmm. by physical touch. So those are the five languages, and the basic idea is that each of us, married or single, young or old, each of us has what I call a primary love language. One of these five speaks more deeply to the child or to the adult than the other four. Now, we're not going to turn away any one of them. They're all fine. But if we don't receive love in our primary language, we will not feel loved, even though the person may be speaking some of the other languages. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that we understand this concept. I've often said to parents, the question is not, do you love your children? We tend to love our children by nature. The question is, do your children feel loved? Mm-hmm. So that's the basic concept.
Wow.
That's incredible. I feel it's such an incredible place of honor hearing that directly from the source. I've read it in so many different articles, read it in your book, talked about it as I've worked with families here at Perimeter, with students here at Perimeter, and just to hear it directly from you. I think it's really a neat experience. One thing, Dr. Chapman, that I've always thought about, and you kind of alluded to this toward the end there, as we all kind of have a preferred method, I am curious what you would say about personality, like an individual's personality, yeah. and how that affects how they show love and also how they might receive love.
Yeah, that has a tremendous impact. In fact, that's one of the things that we deal with more fully in the new book, which is entitled, I think you mentioned earlier, it's The Love Language That Matters Most. And the love language that matters most is the love language of the other person, okay?
That's great.
And in the original book, I mentioned that that personality interfaces with the love languages, but I didn't really explain it very well. And in this follow-up book, we are doing that, and we're also answering another question that people have asked me through the years. I said, in your original book, you mentioned that all these languages have dialects, you know, different ways to speak them, but you didn't talk about what the dialects were. So in this new book, we're talking about the dialects and spelling them out for you. But here's an example of how the personality interfaces. Let's say, let me give an illustration for marriage first. that a wife knows that her husband's love language is words of affirmation. So, and she gives him words, you know, all along the way. But she gets this idea that on his birthday, when all the people are there for his birthday party, she is going to tell everybody how wonderful he is. So she rattles off all these wonderful things about him in front of all these people. And he's an introvert. And he's over there feeling, oh, honey, please, please, honey, please, please. He doesn't like that. Now, if he's an extrovert, oh, man, right. Pour it on, lady. Yeah. Tell them all. Yeah. So the personality does interface with that, you know. And, of course, children's personality takes a little while to kind of figure out what their personality is, you know. But as they get older, of course, it's very obvious that some of the personality traits that they have. So, but at any rate, yeah, it's important to understand personality. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping and thinking that really this new book, The Love Language That Matters Most, is going to help a lot of couples be more effective in expressing love to their spouse or to their children.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. I can definitely, I have kind of a funny story. My husband and I, kind of the same way, and it was over his 40th birthday. I planned this wonderful mountain trip, just our family, for his 40th birthday. And then we get there and we're just, and he was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is what we're doing. And I was like, yep. And I realized, oh wait, that's what I would want. Like, just like, let's right. get away. And then I remember later that afternoon, like texting all of our friends to show up and surprise him the next day. Cause he wanted to see, you know, yeah. So I totally, I've been there. Well, let me ask you this. So what I love that you're saying is that it's not so much about, you know, kind of shouting from the rooftops, hey, this is how I want to be loved, even though I'm sure that's part of it. But it's about learning how your spouse and your children, kind of what their language is. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's the role? Your book talks a lot about intentionality and making sure. So what does that look like? What does this look like when it's playing out in daily life? These languages and knowing the languages.
Let's face it. We are by nature self-centered, okay? Now, there's a good part to that. That means we take care of ourselves. We eat right, we get sleep, we get exercise. But when that becomes selfishness, in which we approach relationships in terms of my needs being met, it's the opposite of love. Mm. You see, love doesn't begin with a feeling. Love begins with an attitude, that is a fixed way of thinking. And the attitude is of love is, I want to enrich your life. I want to do whatever I can to help you become the person that you believe God wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And so if I understand that one of our biggest needs is love, man, I'm going to focus on trying to speak your love language so that you know that you are loved. And so we have to be intentional. Otherwise, by nature, we'll kind of slip back into that self-centeredness. And if you listen to people who come to the point of divorce, many times one of them is saying things like, I haven't felt loved by you in 10 years, and I can't take this any longer. I'm out of here. Selfishness. Mm-hmm. And then some people have read the book, the original book, and both of them got each other's language, and one of them tried to speak it to the other one, and the other one wasn't given their love language, and they'd start saying, now listen, you know we read that book, and you know my love language is, and they tell them, now if you love me, you will do this. Mm-hmm. That's self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of love, you see, and so that's why we named this book The Most Important Love Language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the language of the other person. Mm-hmm. You see, the scriptures say that let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was God, he did not demand his rights as God. Mm-hmm. He emptied himself and became a man. Mm-hmm. And when he got on level ground with us, he stepped down even further to death on a cross. Mm-hmm. Let this attitude be in you. Imagine what would happen if every Christian had an attitude of love toward everybody in their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would revolutionize things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that it's such a challenge, and I love that you just started right there with the reality of how self-centered not only our spouse or our children can be, but we have to look in the mirror first and come to grips with that reality. And really, it's a humble reliance before the Lord, you know. And certainly we don't resolve to just, this is who I am. Certainly we are growing in our sanctification. Mm-hmm. But that's a challenge. And that's a day-by-day challenge, moment-by-moment. And I think a tool like this or a resource like this can help us become more self-aware, mm-hmm. and hopefully less selfish and thinking about the other more.
Yeah. Even when I think about parenting, you know, with our spouses, you know, we stood before God and witnesses and basically gave, you know, said vows to commit the other, you know, to put the other person ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. With children, sometimes this concept is completely lost. When I was looking at this idea of applying love languages to parenting, I had to laugh a little bit because sometimes, so we have a teenager and she's delightful, but sometimes it feels like we are speaking a different language. We're just completely missing each other.
Yeah.
So I do love this idea of, you know, when you're, we're so quick to call out someone else's selfishness, mm-hmm. rather than seeing our own, and teaching our children how to love without expecting something in return, without expecting them to speak our love language. What have you seen when it comes specifically to kids? Is there, and you may say, oh, it's all the languages. Is there a language specific to, you know, raising children that you feel like really resonates?
Well, I think every child has a primary love language. Now, that doesn't mean the others are unimportant. No, no, no. What we do as parents is discover that child's love language, give heavy doses of love in that language, but we also speak the other four languages because we would like the child to learn that there's five ways to show love, mm-hmm. and also learn to receive it and then learn to give it in all five languages. Mm-hmm. That's the healthiest adult.
Yeah.
They learned all five growing up. Most of us did not learn all five. So we get to adulthood, and some of these are totally foreign to us. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to speak them mm-hmm. because we never received them.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have asked me, well, how do you discover a child's love language? Well, I think you can discover most children's love language by the time they're 4 years old, by observing their behavior. My son's love language is physical touch. When he was that age, I would come home from work, he would run to the door, grab my legs, and climb on me. He's touching me because he wants to be touched. Our daughter never did that. At that age, she would say, Daddy, come into my room. I want to show you something. She wanted quality time, my undivided attention. So it's there very early in a child's life.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other ways to determine their love language is, what do they request of you most often?
Mm-hmm.
The child that says, Mommy, can we play? Mommy, can we play? Mommy, can we play? They're begging you for quality time. Mm-hmm. If a child says, I need a hug, they're telling you physical touch is their language. Mm-hmm. So what do they request? And what do they complain about most often?
Mm. Yeah.
I had a mother say to me recently, she said, my six-year-old son said to me, we don't ever go to the park anymore since the baby came. He used to have his mother's undivided attention at the park, full attention, just the two of them. Now the baby's here. He's complaining. He's not getting it. So you put those three things together, you can pretty well figure out a child's primary love language rather early in life. And what you want to do, as I said, is give heavy doses of the primary, but also teach them, you know, there are other ways to express love, and sister's love language is different from yours. And you tell them, yeah, and daddy's love language is, and mother's love language. And in our family, we want to love each other in the right love language.
Mm-hmm.
you teach the concept to the kids.
That's really good. I was writing down earlier, and I couldn't write fast enough. One of the things at the very end of this series, Jeff, the co-host, the sick co-host, I feel bad referring to him as that. He and I will do like our top takeaways. And I was trying to write this down and couldn't write it down fast enough. But you said inside every child is an emotional love tank. And if it's full, ... That's where I, and I was trying to, it sounded like yeah. such a brilliant idea.
And that if it's full, the child grows up emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's empty, the child grows up with many internal emotional struggles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the teenage years, will likely go looking for love in other places, often in the wrong places.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Man, that is, and we've all seen that, felt that. That is, that might be my biggest takeaway from our conversation thus far. And I know we don't have a ton more time, but Jimmy, how about you ask one last question, then I'll ask one last question.
Oh, boy. One last question.
You have eight, don't you?
I've got several swirling around in my head. We'll just stick with that last idea there about wanting to develop and seeing our kids be fully developed in terms of how they experience and express love. They need to see that modeled in front of them. And I can't help but think about another book that I read that talked about when we encounter an adult who seems to be stunted in their growth, it's because they never really had healthy modeling when they were at that stage as a child. And so that idea of a love tank just really pairs very well with that. So my question is, what then is the hope for that individual? Maybe they're later in life, you know, maybe they're a dad now, and they're realizing, oh my goodness, I never experienced this. I never learned this. I never had this modeled. What would you say to that that parent?
Well, the good news is we can learn to speak any one of these languages, even if we did not receive them as children. Now, it's a learning curve, but if we never receive words of affirmation, it will not be natural for us to give words of affirmation to our children.
Mm-hmm.
But we can learn to do it if we understand how important it is. I want this child to feel loved. I want them to grow up feeling loved and know that I love them. See, there's a lot of people, adult children, who look back and say, you know, I never felt loved by my father. Yeah, I had a 13-year-old. He'd run away from home. He ended up in my office. Mm-hmm. And among other things, he said to me, my parents don't love me. They love my brother, but they don't love me.
Wow.
I knew his parents. I knew they loved him.
Yeah.
The problem is they never learned the concept mm-hmm. that he had a primary love language and they weren't speaking it. Mm-hmm. And so if you understand how important it is as a parent, and usually as an adult, we begin to understand how important it is, then we can learn. Mm-hmm. For example, if words of affirmation is the love language of one of our children, or even if it's not, we ought to learn how to speak mm-hmm. it.
That's right.
Just write down some words that you might be saying to a child, or get somebody else to write them down. What would you say to a child? Positive things to a child. Write them down, mm-hmm. standing in front of a mirror in a room by yourself and read them out loud.
Yeah.
And the more you read them, the more you begin to think, I could say That's one right. of these. Yeah, I could say one of these. And so you can learn it. It's like learning a spoken language. Mm-hmm. It's hard to learn another language, but you can do it if you're going to live among those people.
That's right.
And so when we understand how important it is and that we can learn to do something that we didn't receive, that's good news for parents mm-hmm. because anyone can be a good parent mm-hmm. and can meet the child's emotional needs for love.
Yeah. And I would even say, Jimmy, as soon as you mentioned kind of that adult that didn't experience that, I was thinking through the love languages. I was thinking through what we see in the Gospels of how Jesus lives, of what Jesus says. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of how Jesus truly does meet every one of those languages.
Mm-hmm.
And for the parent with the inner kid that didn't hear or feel that love, I believe that's when Jesus steps in.
Right.
I believe when Jesus really becomes that and heals that and really brings about that change so that that person can still be different and that person can still act differently. Okay, I have one last question. Oh, did you have a comment for that?
Yeah, I was just going to say this. I wrote a book a few years ago called God Speaks Your Love Language, in which I demonstrated God speaks all five languages fluently.
Oh, that's great.
It's a fascinating study. God Speaks Your Love Language. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. Well, we'll have to do a whole nother podcast just on that. Well, let me ask you this. So if people are wanting to know, okay, what is my love language and what is my spouse's love language? I'm sure that you have some sort of assessment, or how does that work?
Well, there's an assessment online at 5lovelanguages.com, the number 5lovelanguages.com, and then click on quizzes. There's a free quiz that's been on there for years. In fact, my publisher who handles that website told me 155 million people have taken that free quiz.
Wow.
And it tells you your primary and your secondary. But now we also have a premium assessment, which not only gives you the primary, secondary, and the percentages, but tells you which dialect within that language, or which one or two, are most important to you, and also shows you your personality and talks about, you know, how that relates. You have to pay for that one. It's an assessment that was put together by Les Parrott. You may know Les and Leslie Parrott in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Their best known book is Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, the people who read this new book would find that assessment to be really helpful to them. So, those are all available at 5lovelanguages.com. Mm.
Well, Dr. Chapman, to say that this has been an honor for us, that really is an understatement. Mm. I will, we normally just kind of close out the podcast, but before we do that, when I think of your years of ministry, your years of speaking, of writing, I think that we probably don't know this side of heaven, the amount of marriages you have helped, the amount of marriages you have been part of saving. God has used you in such a tremendous way, and we just want to say thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I am amazed at what God has done. You know, I look back on it and I realize it was not me. Mm. It was God. People ask me how did you make all that happen? And I said, look, I didn't make it happen. The short answer is God. The long answer is God. Mm-hmm. And all of us, we're just instruments. We take our gifting and we seek to use it to serve God. And if all of us as Christians do that, man, we can have a positive impact on the world. So you guys keep up the good work you're doing. Okay.
Well, yes. Thank you. And for our viewers and listeners, thanks so much for joining us. We are right in the middle of this series that I have just learned so much as a parent. So hopefully you'll stick with us, and hopefully Jeff will be feeling better and be back again next week. But thanks again for joining us.